following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
And I hope that gets you fired up because he's coming soon. I know you've been hearing that probably for most of your life, but I think the conditions are ripe right now for Jesus to appear at any moment. Whether you're ready or not, he's coming soon. And I hope and I pray that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you know, that you know, that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt where you'll spend eternity at when you die. That's the whole point of this sermon series, is the three circles, helping you to explain your faith, encouraging you to explain your faith and share with others. We've got multiple resources. We're constantly trying to get invitation cards. There's an app that you can download, Life on Mission, that explains the three circles. There's the God Tools app. There's the four spiritual laws. There's the Roman Rose. We just got multiple resources to help you confidently and clearly explain the gospel. You can tell people many different things. You can tell them all kind of good news. You can give them all kind of hot stock tips, where to go eat at. But there's nothing is going to change your life than sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. The gospel changes everything. And I hope that you realize that. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. We'll be continuing on with our three circles. We're going to talk about just how you bring that person back to God's design. And there is no spiritual conversation that you can have that is more important than the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Over the summer, we had the conversation about personal spiritual disciplines. We talked about many different things. Many of you have come back to me and asked, do you have more information on prayer life? I want more information on fasting. I have many of you come to me and ask me personally how you can learn more about these personal spiritual disciplines. Except for the area of evangelism, that's the area that we tend to shy away from. We as Southern Baptists, we are very evangelistic minded people. We do outreach. We do soul winning. That's a phrase that you don't hear very much here in our church these days, but I'm hoping that soul winning will become a priority for you. And so the three circles evangelism tool, that's what it does, is it builds your confidence and gives you a way to visually share your faith with someone with three simple circles. And that's what the whiteboard is for. That's what the app, Life on Mission, is for. If you need some more of these, I'm trying to get my hands on some more of these. Just walked you through it step by step. I have a couple here. I'm kind of holding on to them for keepsake. But if you need one, I'll definitely share that with you, make you some copies, or let you take a picture of it or whatever it takes. But my hope and my prayer is that by the end of this sermon series, next week, more than likely, we're going to talk about heaven. We're going to bring it back around to God's perfect design for our life. As we found out in our Sunday school lesson this morning, God's design, God began his creation in a perfect garden. Because of sin, we were separated. But in the end, all of that comes back around to another garden, and that's where we'll spend all eternity at with the Lord Jesus Christ. The tree of life, a river of life flowing through it, praising and worshiping Jesus 24/7, 365. But I want to encourage you as much as you possibly can. Invite someone. That's the whole purpose of these cards, is to help you invite someone. That is important, and I definitely want you to do that. And I think we're seeing the fruits of your labor in you doing that. We had over 60 people in Sunday school last week, and we had about that many in our worship service. So that gap between Sunday school and our worship service is closing in. But I want you to invite visitors here. That's the one that we had the goose egg in last week, because there were no visitors. We want to see some new faces around here, because I want to be able to share the gospel with them here in this worship service. I want them to experience what you experience week in and week out. Inviting them to church is important. It's crucial, but it doesn't replace sharing the gospel with someone. The Apostle Paul emphasizes that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in your gospel-centered conversation, this is most definitely a place that you should bring them to. And don't you dare share about Jesus dying for them, his shed blood, his sacrifice, without sharing the fact that Jesus also was resurrected from the dead after 3 days. Don't leave that part out. It is so, so important. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And that resurrection just verifies that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. So why don't we share our faith more than we do? What is the things that keep us from sharing the gospel with other people? So George Barna did some research on that, about how many of us actually share our faith and how many don't. It was kind of surprising, some of it, but some of it was about where I expected to be. He said that 53% actually had a conversation about their faith with a non-Christian friend or family member. That was a little bit higher than I expected it to be. 40% spoke with a stranger about their faith. Some of you are still thinking that we need to observe stranger danger. Don't go up to someone that you don't know. Avoid creepy people at all costs. But at some point in time, God's going to bring you into a path of someone who needs to hear the good news. And it's going to be someone that you've never met before. And you're going to be wondering, why is this person talking to me? Well, God is drawing them to you to help you to explain your faith to them. 36% people shared a Bible verse or story with a non-Christian stranger, and most definitely you bring in the Word of God in that gospel-centered conversation. 38% shared how to become a Christian with a non-Christian friend or family member, and that's where I want to see you engaged at. How can you tell someone that their life has been broken by sin? How can you tell someone to get back to that recovery and repentance process and actually get back to God's design and God's plan for their life? The sad part about it is that the further and further we get and closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, it seems like evangelism is just dropping off more and more and more. The one statistic that George Barna came up with, he said that actually, 78% have not shared their faith with anyone over the past 6 months. And more than half, 59%, say they haven't invited anyone to church in that same time frame. Let me just encourage you, on your way out today, pick you up a handful of these. My challenge to you today is to find someone this week, maybe that you don't know, maybe that you do know, and invite them to be here. A personal invitation goes a long, long way. And I can only do so much. Most people are under the thought that, well, we pay the pastor, we pay the ministers to go out and do this. No. If you're born again, if you're a believer, you have been commissioned to preach the good news, to carry the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. God didn't save you to sit you on a shelf. God didn't save you to stay in your house locked up, avoiding people. He saved you to carry the message of his death, burial, and resurrection into a lost and dying world. So the first week we looked at God's design for our life. We found out that God has a purpose for us. Our work, our rest, our marriage, our relationships. We talked about Adam and Eve, how they were born, created into a perfect environment, and how that fellowship was broken by something called sin. And the Bible says that that sin nature has been passed on to us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that sin brings brokenness into our life. It brings us away from God's design for our life. We live in a hurting and broken world. I mean, every day you just see statistics. Divorce, murder rate, suicide rate, addiction. You name it, it's going on in our world today. We see wars breaking out. We just see signs of brokenness no matter where we are at. And the thing about it is, when we find ourselves in a state of brokenness, we usually try to suppress it. We usually try to numb it with alcohol, drugs, work. We think we can get out of this brokenness by ourselves. We try to fix it our lives ourselves. Any of you here are a Mr. Fix-It? You're a self-made man. You like to do things on your own. Well, you can't do that with sin. You can't do that with your life. When you get away from God's design, you have a problem that you can't fix on your own. That's when we reach a turning point. We say, I need to find a way to get back to God's design for my life. And we talked last week about the fact that each and every one of us needs to repent. Repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia. It's where we get our word metamorphosis from. It's the whole picture of the caterpillar turning into a cocoon and then turning into a butterfly, completely transformed. Well, how do I reach that point? How do I get back to where I am transformed? That's what we're going to talk about today. The gospel is what changes everything in our lives. It helps us to get back to God's design for our life. But the gospel is not just Jesus died for your sins. That's the most important part. He knew that we were in a state of brokenness. He knew that because of sin, we were separated from God and we couldn't fix that ourselves. He knew that there was nothing that we could do on our own. So he came and died for our sins. He became the one-time sacrifice for all of mankind. But that wasn't the end of the story. He was buried in a barred tomb. Why was it a barred tomb? Because he knew he was only going to need it for 3 days. And after that, he rose up from the grave. God accepted that sacrifice for our sins. So the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's all stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the Apostle Paul explains what the gospel is and how we should be sharing it. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Well, if you would have been a fact checker back in those days, it wouldn't have been hard to find someone that said, I saw Jesus after he rose from the grave. Here it is, the Apostle Paul is saying, not just me, not just 12, but over 500 people will testify that they saw Jesus Christ after he was resurrected from the dead. All at once, of whom the greater part remain at the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James. Jesus actually came back specifically to reveal himself to James and to Thomas and to several others. And by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Now skip over to verse 12, because here comes the important part. Now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Paul is talking about the debate between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees believed that there was a resurrection at some point in time. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection, so they were sad, you see. What do you believe? How do you believe in that? He goes on to say that the resurrection is important, not just the resurrection of the dead, but also the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's why he says that. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. Verse 17, here's the important part. Underscore this and highlight it, put a star by it. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Heavenly Father, speak to us today about the power of the resurrection, the true meaning of the gospel, and how we can share our faith. Lord, if I didn't believe it was true, I wouldn't be standing here today. But I am convinced, Lord God, that you raised up from the dead. I know you did because you live within me. You live in my heart. And now that message, Lord God, you want me to take to a lost and dying world. Lord, you want every believer to do that. But Lord, if we don't possess eternal life ourselves, there's no way that we can share that gift with another person. So I pray that you'll search our hearts this morning, Lord God. I pray that if there's any one person here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today they would leave this building with the assurance of knowing that they're a child of God, their sins have been forgiven, and the power of the gospel has impacted their lives. And I pray for each and every one of us here, Lord God, that we would live our lives with a sense of urgency, that you are real, your word is true, you rose up from the grave just as you promised, and that you still have the power to change lives of people today. And we just ask all these things in the most powerful name that there is, and that name is Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. So if we do truly believe God's word, if we do truly believe that Jesus rose up from the grave, just as he promised, why do we not share our faith? Why do we not take that gospel message out into the world? So the producers of the Jesus film polled over 2,000 people on that very topic. They asked them, what keeps you from sharing your faith? 22% of those people said, that fear is the one thing that keeps them from sharing their faith. If you're afraid of sharing with someone else about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are not alone. I used to be like that. I was very, very introverted. Didn't speak a whole lot. You say, what in the world happened to that guy? God got a hold of my heart. And I started living my life with urgency that there is a purpose for me to be here on this earth, and God wants me to share a message with a lost and dying world. 17% said that they didn't have opportunities to share their faith. There's a Greek word for that. It's called hogwash. If you got time to do the things that you like to do and that you want to do, then you have time to share your faith. And let me just say, it's not anything that you have to go out of your way to do. Jesus said to share the gospel as you go. When you're putting gas in your vehicle, there's usually somebody on the other side of the pump. Hey, buddy, how's your day going? Would you like to hear some good news? And just strike up that conversation. The waitress at the restaurant when she comes and take your order, or the waiter. Ask them, is there something I could pray with you about? Would you like to hear some good news? Can I invite you to church? Can I invite you into the most important relationship that you'll ever have? You have opportunities. And we usually make time to do the things that we want to do. So if we really believe that there is a sense of urgency to this message that God has entrusted us with, we'll take the time and find those opportunities. 10% of those people said that they didn't feel equipped to share their faith. I think I've given you enough resources to remove that excuse. We've offered Sunday school. We give training there. We've had soul winning classes. We've had discipleship training. If you want to know how to share your faith, you don't hesitate to come up and ask me, Brother Tracy, can you tell me some ways that I can start that gospel-centered conversation? I would be glad to do that with you. 9% said they they weren't interested in sharing their faith because other people weren't interested in hearing what they had to say. 8% said that they feared rejection for sharing their faith. That's an opportunity. That's a chance that I would just rather take. I would rather be rejected by someone than God to hold me accountable for not sharing my faith. 4% said that they were too shy to share their faith. 4% said that they didn't find it easy to bring up in a conversation. That's the whole purpose of these three simple circles. It's for you to take out a napkin, a pencil, a pen, whatever you have around you, and just show someone, look, God has a design for your life. He loves you. He put you here for a purpose. But sin has separated you from a God that loves you, and He's brought that sin has brought brokenness into your life. You may be searching for answers right now. How do I fix this? What is the cure for my brokenness? Where can I find answers? Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to repent. You need to understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and it is that sin that separates us from God's design for our life. Whatever it takes, we need to declare that Jesus saves. His blood washes away all sins, and there is still power in the gospel today. And that was the message that the Apostle Paul took to the church at Corinth here. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. How urgent is that message to you? Point number one, the gospel should be our primary declaration. More than anything else we talk about, more than anything else that we're concerned about, Paul says, I declare to you, in the original language, it means to make known, to tell, to reveal, and to cause information to be known by someone. Let me just say this. We are messengers of the best news ever. Is that God loves you and Jesus died for your sins. The word gospel in the original language is the word euangelion, which means good news. It literally means good news. Why is Paul saying here that he declared the gospel to this church at Corinth? Well, Jesus died around the year 30 AD. The four gospels were not written until sometime between the year 70 AD and 108 AD. That means for about 40 years, the only way for them to communicate the gospel was verbally. Oral transmission was the only way that they could share that good news with other churches, with other cities, with other communities. The only method that Paul had during this time before the gospels were written was through oral transmission. They had to verbally communicate. Paul says it multiple times here in this passage. I declare, I delivered, so we preach, Christ is preached, our preaching. Whatever it took, they had to tell the good news to those who would listen. I think the apostles would have been blown away if they could see the technology that we have today. You have what? You have a cell phone? 20 contacts? You can send out a message at one time and you're not sharing the good news? You have what? What is this? Facebook? TikTok? Twitter? Whatever it is? You have ways of putting yourself on video and telling others that Jesus saves and you're not doing it? What's up with this? Man, I wish I would have had this. I had to go around from city to city. I was shipwrecked. I was beaten. I had to walk trails. I had to go through mountains. I had to sleep in prisons. And all you have to do is just turn on your phone and you can share the good news and you're not sharing the good news. You got all these excuses. Brothers and sisters, they had to go out and declare verbally each and every day. And it wasn't just one of them. It was multiple people going out and sharing the good news as much as possible, whenever possible. The gospel needs to be our primary declaration in every conversation that we have. You might say, well, you know what, Brother Tracy, you're a preacher. I'm not. We have all been called to share the good news. If Jesus Christ has saved you, The Spirit of the living God lives within you. You have the power necessary to open up your mouth and say, God loves you. Jesus died for you. And here's how you can be saved. Here's one thing that I found. We like to talk about things that are important to us. When the news is important, word gets out. Hey, I found a good eating place. You need to go there too. I've invested in this and I've made a lot of money off of it. If you want to know what it is, here's what you can invest your money in. If it's a juicy tidbit of gossip, guess what? That goes out like wildfire. It goes viral is what they call it these days. What if the gospel went viral? What if each and every one of us today was to pick up the phone and call somebody we know, say, hey, I've got some good news for you. What if each and every one of us here today, I'm guessing there's probably about 60, 65 people here today. What if each and every one of us here brought somebody back next Sunday to hear about heaven and what's waiting for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? How radical would that be? But Paul is saying, we declare this message. I've preached it. You've received it. I've standing on it. I've received it myself. And I know that it's a life-changing message. That was his declaration. And that should be our declaration as well. When the gospel becomes urgent to us, the message will get out to those who really need to hear it. Getting kind of quiet out there. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Because the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10 exactly what happens when we don't get the message out. Romans 10, verse 13, a very familiar verse. I hope that you've got this underlined. I hope you've got it memorized. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you really believe that, church? All right. That's the message that we're taking. But here's what he says. He says, how then shall they call on him and who they have not believed? How many of you would agree with me that there are people in our community that have not believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? I think that's pretty evident. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You mean there's actually people out there in our community that have not heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? I would have to think that there's quite a few of them. And how shall they hear without a what? Without a preacher. Somebody has to go and tell them. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? My challenge to you today is I'm sending you out there fully armed, fully loaded, fully equipped, fully encouraged to share your faith with someone and declare to them that Jesus saves. That their life has been broken by sin, and the only thing that will change it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says here. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by what? And hearing by the word of God. Folks, we have a message that the world outside needs to hear. Point number two, how the gospel changed our life personally should be part of our explanation. The gospel should be our declaration, and how God has changed our life should most definitely be part of the explanation. Are you ready to share your testimony? Are you evidence that God can change a life? Yes, you are. The Apostle Paul says here in verse 3, he says, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. And he says, here's what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Hundreds of prophecies were fulfilled the day that Jesus died. Isaiah wrote about it 750 years before Jesus was even born. David wrote about it in the Psalms. The beginning of Scripture tells about the forthcoming Messiah and how he would suffer and die. The Apostle Paul says, look, you heard about this. It was here in the Scripture. Then Jesus fulfilled every one of those prophecies accurately. He says, I received that message that Jesus Christ died for me according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he doesn't leave off the most powerful point, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus himself even said, I'm going to die on the cross. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, I'm going to be lifted up. He said, and I'm going to be buried, but I'm not going to stay there. He said, I'm going to rise up from the grave. He said, just as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale, he said, I'm going to spend 3 days in the earth, and then I'm going to raise up. And I'm going to show you exactly how much power I have over death, hell, and the grave. But the gospel, if the gospel has changed your life, then you should explain to that person that you're having that gospel-centered conversation with just exactly what you used to be and what you are now. Tell them some of the things that God has done for you. Tell them about the day that Jesus set you free from your sins. Can you go back to a day in your life and say, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is the day when I knelt down, I repented of my sins, I asked Jesus to come in and save me and make me a new person, and he did. I was 17 years old, New Hope Baptist Church, August of 1985, a revival meeting. A man by the name of Billy Ray Franks knelt down with me and led me in a sinner's prayer. I was in a counseling room, which then became the nursery. The birthing room for new Christians became the nursery for young infants in our church. I'll never forget that day because my life hasn't been the same since then. Have I been perfect? Have I lived the way? No, absolutely not. But I know that that's the day that God came into my life, set me free from my sins, and changed me for all eternity. There have been other significant times that I've had experiences like that. The day that he called me, I'll never forget that. But what about you? Can you go back to a point in time? Can you take that person back to a point in time and say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, here's where I was at. Here's what was going on. And God, I knew God was speaking to me. Here's the verse that he spoke to me through. Here's the person that he used to influence my life. And my life has been radically different ever since then. The Apostle Paul considered himself to be the chiefest of sinners. And he could go back to that day on the Damascus Road. He said, there ain't no doubt when God revealed himself to me. He said, there was a light that shone from heaven. I heard a voice. My eyes were blinded. And he set me free from the life that I was living. Have you been born again? Has your life been radically transformed by the gospel? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. How the gospel changed our life personally should be a part of your explanation. Your life is evidence either for or against Christianity. And each and every one of us, at some point in time, we have departed from God's design in our life. We've lived our lives in brokenness. And you need to be able to point to a place in time where you've repented of your sins and God has forgiven you and you were able to start over with a new life. Point number three, the gospel is an incomplete message without the resurrection. Paul talks about the message that he declares, he preached, he also received it. He says that Jesus died according to the Scriptures, he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But in verse 4, he points specifically to the resurrection. And then in verse 17, he confirms that once again. He said, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Because if Jesus did not rise up from that grave, then he was just another good person. If he didn't rise up from the grave, he was just another prophet. If he didn't rise up from the grave, he was just another preacher. He was like any other man. But Jesus was the Son of God. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He lived a perfect life so he could be the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And then after they killed him, crucified him, all of the blood was drained out of his body. He was beaten, and he hung on the cross all day long. But after 3 days, with the power of God, he rose up from the grave, signifying that he was who he said he was. He did what he predicted he would do, and he showed the power of God in his life by coming up out of that grave. Go to the tomb of Buddha, guess what? Buddha's still there. You go to the tomb of Muhammad, guess what? Muhammad is still there. If you go to the tomb of Joseph Stalin, guess what? He's still there. But if you go to the tomb of Jesus Christ, guess what? It's empty. He's no longer there. And when you share the gospel, you better not leave that part out. Folks, the tomb verifies that God accepted the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins. How do we know Jesus rose from the dead? Paul says here there was over 500 witnesses. Recent evidence from the examination of the Shroud of Turin reveals further proof of its authenticity. Modern lab equipment has been used to examine the blood stains on the Shroud of Turin, and they verify that the blood is from someone who endured massive trauma. They can date it back to the time when Jesus was on the earth. Folks, there's no doubt about it. The resurrection is real. Jesus is alive. And he was who he said he was. And the Apostle Paul here says one of the most important parts, or the most important part of the gospel, that you better not leave out, is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Point number 4, the gospel is neither a passing sensation. You won't find this in the passage, but it's something that is implied. The gospel is not just a feeling that you feel. It's not something you can get and something you can lose. It's not something you have one day and then you don't have it the next day. Eternal life is for all of eternity. It's not just a feeling that you experience, but it's the power of the living God coming to live inside of you. Folks, if you've gotten over your salvation experience already, how are you going to be able to convince anyone else that it's a life worth living? Has something changed inside of you? And are you still excited, just as excited today as you were the day that Jesus set you free? Paul says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That power there in the original language is the Greek word dunamis. It explains a supernatural power. When Jesus saves you, something supernaturally happens inside of you. The gospel is not just a passing sensation. Point number 5, Jesus did not die for a denomination, but for our salvation. Christianity is not a Catholic salvation. It's not a Pentecostal salvation. It's not even a Baptist salvation. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. If you want to look that up, it's in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. There is no one denomination that can claim that they are the original church that Jesus Christ built. When the gospel comes urgent to us, the message will get out to those who hear it And it's not just about being Baptist. It's not just about being Catholic. It's about being saved, set free from your sins, born again, renewed, regenerated, redeemed forever and ever more. If you have Jesus Christ, you have something that this outside world does not have. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 11. John writes this, he said, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in not a denomination, not a religion, not a specific group of people." He said, "This life is in His Son." It's all about Jesus. And here's the difference. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Has the gospel changed your life? Have you lived your life in brokenness long enough? Are you looking for ways out? Are you looking to addictions? Are you looking to hobbies? Are you looking to habits? Are you looking to something humanly conceived that would possibly change your life? You're not going to find it. The only way to get out of this brokenness that comes through sin is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel changes everything in your life and is the only way that you will find restoration and find your way back to God's original design for your life, for everything that you're involved in. But folks, we need to live our lives with a sense of urgency. That this could be our last day here on earth. That Jesus' return is soon. If you really, really believe that, you're going to have a sense of urgency about sharing the gospel and sharing the good news. My hope and my prayer is that when you walk out of these doors today, you'll be automatically looking for someone anywhere, anytime, and that you'll slow down a little bit and you'll take the time and wonder, where will that person spend eternity at? Has anyone shared the good news with them? I try to do it as much as I possibly can. We have people that come into the office all the time, and I make sure that I take the time to ask them about their life. I ask them where their birthday is, and then I ask them, "Well, when is the day that you're going to die?" And they'll say, "I don't know." And then I'll say, "Well, if you died today, where would you spend eternity at?" Some people accept the offer and the invitation. Some people reject it. Some people are genuine about it. Some people go along with it just to get me off of their back and get out of the office. That responsibility is not ours. The responsibility that we have is to go out and declare the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and we can have restoration through His shed blood. There's someone out there right now that's waiting for you. There's someone out there right now that has no hope whatsoever. There's someone out there right now that this might be their last day here on this earth. And when you cross paths with that person, that is your opportunity to have a gospel-centered conversation with them. And you never can tell when you're going to be the impact that's going to turn them toward the Lord. You don't have any saving power in you, but you have someone living inside of you that does have that saving power. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." You don't have anything to be afraid of. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Here in just a moment, these altars are going to be open. We're going to have a time of invitation for you to respond to what you've heard today. This can be a time for you to make a commitment. If you need a renewal of your faith, if you need to make a fresh start, this will be the time to do it. If you have someone in mind that you want to share with, this will be a good time to come and pray for that person. And start asking the Lord to give you those opportunities to share with them. Here's what I would want to challenge you to do. It's something that I do. Before you get out of bed in the morning and every day this week, before your feet hit the floor, maybe just hit the snooze button and begin talking to the Lord and say, God, I need somebody to share my faith with. I have this person on my heart and on my mind. Would you please prepare them to receive the message of the gospel? And would you please give me the opportunity to share with someone the gift of eternal life that you've given to me? And I guarantee when you start praying in that way every day, God's going to raise your awareness to what's going on around you. And you're going to be looking for those opportunities to share with someone. Folks, this is a big world, and I can only share with so many people. But each and every one of us would take seriously the commission to go and tell the good news. There's no telling what God would do. But if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can't share something that you don't have yourself. Say, well, Brother Tracy, I'm ready to start a relationship with Jesus. How do I do that? It's as simple as ABC. First thing that you need to do is you need to admit that you're a sinner. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that there are none righteous, no, not one. And that sin is what separates us from a God who loves us. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The next thing you need to do is believe. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Believe that his shed blood was the atoning sacrifice for all of mankind. And that belief is not just a one-time belief. It is an everyday belief. And the next thing you need to do is seek, confess, and commit. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then you commit your life to following him, becoming a disciple and a follower of his each and every day of your life. And if that's something you want to begin, as soon as the music begins, I would encourage you, just step out of that pew into this aisle. Come down here and take me by the hand and just say, Brother Tracy, I need to be saved. I want Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to start a new life. Tell me how to do that, and I'll be more than happy to. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you. We just thank you for loving us. We thank you for dying for us. And I pray, Lord God, that you would have your way during this invitation time. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.